Today, week three, it's about giving more. Giving more. How can we, so if last week was spend less, how can this week be give more? How can you spend less and yet give more? It almost seems counterintuitive, doesn't it? How can we spend less and yet give more? By realizing that the reason we give gifts to those we love is because gifts are relational. When I give a gift to someone, I'm saying I care about you. Here's the problem. We're all on a budget. Or at least we should be. We're all on a budget. So look, if I were to give a gift to every single person that I love, I would start with my wife and my kids. I would probably then go to immediate family, extended family, my wife's family. I would give gifts to my elders, my coach, my mentor, my best friend, my elders, the Ethos staff, the Ethos group leaders, my neighbors, my friends. I would give gifts to everybody. So let's just say that I was a really good boy this year. I was a really, really good boy. I saved $200 a month the previous 11 months minus 1 month when I had a car repair bill or something like that, okay? Let's say that I was scrunching and saving and I saved $200 a month for 10 months. That's $2,000. Now, I'm a good Ethos member, and so I want my best gift to go to Jesus this year, like we've been talking about with the Christmas offering. So let's say that I give $700 to the Christmas offering. Now, this is all facetious. It's all made up. I'm just saying, let's just say out of that $2,000, I give $700 to the Christmas offering. That leaves $1,300. Let's say I give I allot $150 each for my wife and my three kids. That's $600. So now I have $700 left. I have my brother, my sister, my parents, my in-laws, my brother-in-law, their spouses, their kids. And let's say I spend $25 on each couple and $25 for each kid and $25 for each parent. That's five kids, three couples, four parents. That's 12 gifts at $25, that's $300. I now have $400 left. I still have five elders, five staff, three neighborhood families, seven small group leader couples. That's 20 gifts at $20 each, $2,000 gone. Now, here's the problem with the way we do Christmas. How loved is my neighbor going to feel when I give him that $25 gift card to Amazon? How special of a person are one of my elders going to feel when I give them that $20 gift, that $20 bottle of wine, or that $25 movie theater deal for he and his wife, or whatever? It's like saying, I care about you so much. I mean, look, I'm not saying that people won't be glad to receive the gifts that I give. But did that one $20 little gift really communicate how much I care? I mean, do you see the problem with Christmas in America? It's like saying, I care about you. No, no, no. I care about you. I love you deeply. Here's a $20 gift card. Do you see the disconnect? Our gifts don't reflect our hearts. And this is something that we have a hard time living with, which is why a lot of us go into debt around Christmas. Because the $20, $25 gift doesn't communicate how much you love somebody. And so you get them something that you can't afford to reflect your care for them. And so in your head, you're justifying your debt because you care. We can't stand the thought of giving measly gifts to someone that we really care about. And so we spend more than we should. See, if I give someone a measly gift when I really, really care, it communicates the wrong thing. So here's the question I have for you today. How can we stop giving consumeristic, cheap gifts that don't mean much to people this year and begin to give better, more meaningful gifts? That's the question I hope to answer today. And here I'm going to give you a simple way to remember it. Here's what it is. I'll show you up here. We will never give the way God gives until we realize what God gave. Will you say it with me? Let's read it out loud together. Here we go. We will never give the way God gives until we realize what God gave. When we give less of the consumeristic cheap gifts and begin to give more of ourselves relationally, Christmas begins to become more of what it was originally intended to be. And I think the best way to do this, the best way to give the way that God gave, is to model our giving after His giving. How are we supposed to give? The way that God gave. And that's what I want to talk to you about. Three things, if you're taking notes. God's gift was intimate. God's gift was personal. And God's gift was costly. God's gift was intimate. God's gift was personal. And God's gift was costly. Let's start with number one. God's gift was intimate. We will never resist the assumption that giving many expensive gifts is the best way to express love. We will never resist the trap of giving easy gifts to our loved ones. We will never stop thinking consumeristically and start giving relationally until we realize and model our giving patterns after God's giving patterns. We will never give the way God gave it unless we realize what it was that He gave us. What did God give us? He gave us the gift of Himself. Let me repeat the phrase to remember here again one more time. We will never give the way God gives until we realize what God gave. What did God give us? He gave us the gift of Himself. So if we will never give the way God gives until we realize what God gave, what can we learn from what God gave? We can learn that He gave us the gift of Himself. In John chapter 1, we learn that when we model our gifts after God's gift to us, then we end up giving the gift of ourselves. And when we do that, we give a gift that's intimate. Look at John chapter 1, verse 14, reading out of the ESV. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. If you've been around Ethos for a while, you know that we started a series in the book of John back in the fall. And it took us probably three or four sermons to get to verse 14 because it's so rich. But when we got there, we talked a lot about the incarnation. And this verse is what theologians call the miracle of the incarnation. This Jesus, who is fully God, fully God. John chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus says, I and the Father are one. This Jesus is the very one who spoke, listen, who spoke the universe into existence. And this God chose to become one of us. John chapter 14, verse 9 says that if we've seen Jesus, we've seen the Father. And because of this miracle, this incarnation, the infinite God, the God who exists outside of time and space, becomes more real, more tangible, more approachable, and more comprehensible, though not fully. He becomes one of us. The gift that God has given us was the very gift of Himself. And there's nothing that defines intimacy better than this. Listen, intimacy is being fully known and fully loved by another. Intimacy is what happens when you know me fully. You know me and you still love me. It's when you know me and you still love me. This is exactly what God's gift to us was. What can we learn from this? God's gift to us was intimate. How can we model this in our own lives? In this way, when we deeply love and care about another person, and when we want to bless them and show them that we love them deeply, we have to do it in a way that says, I love you deeply for who you are. I love you deeply, even though I know you. Even though I know the sinful parts of you. Even though I know the parts that you try to hide. Even though I see through you, I still love you. I still want to be with you. See, loving someone in an intimate way means that you're loving them despite their brokenness. And don't we want to communicate that kind of unconditional love if that's what God modeled for us? What's one single commodity that you cannot get more of no matter how much money you spend? It's the commodity of time. It's a precious commodity. Sometimes one of the most intimate things we can tell someone is, I want to be with you. I want to be with you. I want to hear you. I want to know you. You know, as a pastor, pastors can be really busy sometimes. They can have also seasons of rest, but there are seasons that are really busy, and sometimes I don't get to spend as much time with my kids as I want to. And someone told me a long time ago that if you have daughters, a good question to ask is to really look them right in the face. When they have your undivided attention, no phones, no TVs, just, hey, come here, I want to talk to you. And you sit across from them and just look at them and say, how is your heart? How's your heart? What's going on in your soul? You know, where do most of your feelings reside these days? Mad, sad, glad, scared? Which box are you in most of the time these days? I think that we desire so badly to be loved that way. And we want to love people that way. It's just that at Christmas, what do you do? What do you do? Here's a $20 gift card. Here's a $20 gift. And it just feels weird. What's the one commodity you can't buy more of and you can't get more of? It is time. And one of the most intimate things we can do is to say, I want to be with you. How's your heart? I want to know you. I want to hear you. I was having a really, 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 really bad day the other day. In my memory, it was like top five bad days. It was a horrible day. I went from one meeting to the next, 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 to the next. I was a bonehead and didn't schedule myself any margin in between meetings. And I just went. And I finally finished at about 8:30 at night. And as I was leaving, this guy that I was meeting with, he's from way out in the panhandle of Oklahoma. And here's what he said to me. He goes, well, he has a real southern accent, real kind of redneck accent. And he says, well, how's everything going? And I said, well, it's going okay, man, but you know, still kind of hard, just kind of having a rough day and da da da. And he goes, well, I tell you what. He said, an acquaintance, if you tell him you're down, if you tell him things aren't going well, an acquaintance will say, well, give me a call if you need to. Give me a call if you need to. He said, but a friend When you tell your friend that you're down, tell your friend you're struggling. A friend doesn't say, call me if you need to. A friend knocks on your door. A friend comes and just sits with you. So I was having this bad day. And he told me that, and I kind of got choked up because I'm having a bad day and I'm just all, I don't know, emotional anyway. Kind of an emotional guy, if you haven't noticed. I had probably 6 or 7 missed calls, a bunch of text messages. And I called back my 2 elders. This was before we had our new ones. They had been trying to get hold of me because they knew I was having a bad day. And my 2 elders, I finally called them back and they said, dude, where have you been? We're in the car. We were just going to come over and knock on your door and just sit with you. I just wept. See, an acquaintance will say, give me a call if you need to, but a friend knocks on your door. I think what I'm trying to say here is, if we want to model our giving after God's giving, if we will never give the way God gave until we realize what kind of gift God gave us, then we have to understand that Jesus came to us. He showed up. We weren't begging Him to. Because the Bible says that while we were still enemies, Christ died for us. When you have somebody who's sitting next to you or across from you and you're trying to actually be present with them with no phones, no agendas, no distractions, you're giving that person the gift of intimacy. So we see that God's gift to us was intimate, and now let's look at how God's gift was personal. Number 2, God's gift was personal. In Luke chapter 2, we see the angels appearing to the shepherds. Here's what they say. I've highlighted the certain pronouns that I will be emphasizing. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 18. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. What do we learn from this? A whole bunch, but let me pick out just one. God's gift to us was personal. God's gift to us was personal. When the angels appeared to the shepherds, they said, I bring you good news of great joy. This is for you. God is saying, I came for you. I died for you. I chose you. God's gift to us was personal. We will never give the way God gives until we realize what God gave. We will never give the way God gives until we realize what God gave. How can we model our giving after God's giving? By giving the personal gift of our presence and love to those that we love. In the book Advent Conspiracy, there's a story about a dad who was trying to do this. And one year for Christmas, instead of buying his graduating senior daughter some big expensive gifts, he bought her two journals. Let me read it to you. A father and his teenage daughter were enjoying their last Christmas at home before she headed off to college that summer. For him, the days were beginning to blur into weeks, and the little girl he was bouncing on his lap just yesterday was going to leave him tomorrow. What did that father give his daughter that Christmas? Two beautiful blank journals with these instructions. She was to fill out one, and he would fill out the other. During the next year, which would include her final days of high school, an all too brief summer, and her first semester away from home, they both committed to writing thoughts about leaving home, questions and fears, frustrations with overprotective parenting, what it means to let go, how it feels to watch your child become an adult, etc., etc. The next Christmas, they would exchange their journals. Two empty journals for Christmas. That's what a daughter got from her dad. How impersonal such a gesture might appear at first glance, and how inadequate. But no gift could have been more relational, more personal. No other gift would stand a chance of being appreciated so warmly or remembered for so long. See, when we've seen that God's gift was intimate, we've seen that God's gift to us was personal. And if we want to give the way God gives, then we must also see that God's gift to us was costly. Which leads us to point three. God's gift was costly. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul says this in verses 5 through 8. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. God's gift to us was costly. In verse 7, Paul says that Jesus took on the form of a servant, not a king. I was at the Poulain's small group the other night. Thank you guys so much again for having me. It was so much fun. I mean, if you're looking for a group, it's amazing. And so is the Youngs. And so is the South Tulsa group. Is that what you guys call it, South Tulsa group? Yeah. And so is the Ganaways. That was pretty amazing as well. You guys, if you're not in a group, you are missing out. Every group I went to, everybody was like, we feel so loved. This is like our family. This is the best thing ever. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is the best thing ever. It's amazing. When I went to the Joneses group, it was amazing. If you're not in an Ethos group, you should get in one. They're amazing. If you're lonely, get into a group. If you're mad at me or elders or something like that, go get in a group. You'll get a lot happier. If you're mad at your boss, go to a group. If you don't have enough money, go to a group. I don't know, I'm just trying to think of stuff. Go to a group. Jesus' gift was costly. And when I was at the Poulain's group, they were sitting around, they were talking. They had invited people from outside of our church to come, and these people were watching, and they were studying Philippians chapter 2. And they were just talking about how they're so busy all the time. And how even taking a break in the middle of the week like this to sit around and talk, how that was so good for their souls. And one of the things that we were discussing in that group is that when Jesus came down, do you understand that if Jesus would have come to the earth and been riding some sort of white stallion and had the biggest palace in the history of the world and resided on top of some mountain and overtook the world and had slaves and servants and everything else, that would still be the most humble act in the history of the world? Because if you go from being God to being human, that's a big demotion in and of itself. It's like there's nowhere to go after that but up, right? If you start off being deity and then you become human, that's no bueno. But he didn't do that. He didn't come to the earth and become a king. At least not yet, right? He came to the earth and humbled himself, taking on the form of a slave. Pretty much being homeless. He took on the form of a servant. He was the guy that took off his cloak and wrapped it around his waist and knelt down at the Last Supper and washed his disciples' feet. That's the kind of Savior we have. See, God's gift to us was costly. Because it says, and being found in human form, verse 8, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. It cost Jesus everything. The agony, the anguish, not only of the torture, but of the separation that he experienced from his Father. As he took on our sin upon himself. When we give generous gifts that are modeled after God's gift giving, we're giving thoughtful gifts, not consumeristic gifts. And what happens is it takes us back to the joy that can be found at the heart of the Christmas story. Remember that Jesus gave himself. Remember that big word that we were using earlier, the incarnation? That God became flesh. He took on flesh and dwells among us. Remember that Jesus gave us himself. But we need to remember two very important things. We need to remember that relational gifts are costly. They're costly because it takes time, it takes presence, and it takes your energy. It's way easier for me to buy you a $20 gift card somewhere than it is for me to sit with you for 2 hours fully present. That's going to cost me something. And when you do that for someone else, it costs you something. Secondly, just remember this. This is kind of risky. It sounds a little arrogant. If you think about it. You imagine, Tyler? Tyler, thank you for my gift. My gift for you this year, Tyler, is me. Woo! I was kind of hoping for a golf towel or something. It's risky. People might be offended. What if they don't like it? What if they don't understand our intent? Part of relational giving is understanding that there's a risk, that our heartfelt gifts simply might not be appreciated. People might not have any idea what we're doing or why we're doing it. And even when we tell them, they might think that there's ulterior motives. And that's when we need to remember that giving a gift isn't about you. When you give a gift, it's about the other person. And when we give the gift of ourselves, it if we do it right, it oozes humility and grace, whether people recognize it or not. And I don't think there's any better way to celebrate Christmas. We will never give the way God gives until we realize what God gave. Brothers and sisters, do you realize how costly it was? Do you realize the kind of gift that God gave us? The kind of intimate gift, the kind of personal gift, the kind of costly gift that God gave us. Do you see that? Yesterday I was working on the sermon a little bit more, like I do on Saturdays sometimes. And it just hit me. We will never give the way God gives until we realize what Jesus gave. And here's what He gave. Jesus did not from heaven say, "If you need me, give me a call. If you get in trouble, holler. If you find yourself in a precarious situation, let me know. I'll try to make it. If you try to call me and I don't answer, I'm probably in a meeting. I'll get back with you." That's not what Jesus did. That's not the kind of gift that God gave us. You know what God gave us? Jesus said this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone opens the door, I'll come in. I'll come in. And I'll be with you. And I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you. And I will love you where you are." I wonder if you were sitting across a table from Jesus and you were telling Him about your hardships and your struggles. I wonder if Jesus would say, "I made you that way. I love that about you. I care about you." He knocks on the door. He's not distant. He's a friend. He's our Lord, but He's also our friend. And you know what a friend does? They always let you in. And they're always there for you. And they never let you down. At least they don't mean to. When they do. And they repent quickly. Because they didn't mean it. Because they love you. Do you know Jesus that way? Do you know that kind of Jesus? Listen. Advent conspiracy is this. The conspiracy is, say no to doing Christmas the way everybody else says you have to do it. Do you notice that I didn't tell you exactly how to do this, what I'm talking about? That's because it's up to you. That's between you and the Lord. Like, you don't have to spend more this Christmas to give more. In fact, you can spend less and give more. Let's pray together.